North Rock Podcast.
All right. Well, I want to share with you for a couple weeks leading up to Easter about something that God just so heavily put on my heart last week. Some of you know I had the opportunity to go with a bunch of pastors to two countries, to Greece and Albania. And we got to experience a lot of really cool things together. We got to be with some of our missionaries. Some of you were here a couple years ago when Chris and Laura Dacus were here. They're our missionaries from Albania. We got to be with them and see what God is doing. It's incredible. God is doing miracles around this world, and it's so fun to be a part of it. It was also really cool to be able to go to a lot of the sites in the New Testament. Many of you have heard of the Apostle Paul. He was the greatest missionary in the history of the world, and we got to go to some of the places that he walked in, and it was powerful. I didn't know how powerful it would be just to be there and to see some of the things that you see described in the Bible. Before we do that, I saw the LaRoches over here, and their daughter lives in Chile, in South America. It's where I grew up. As many of you know, they had a very large earthquake this last week, since then, I think like 300 aftershocks or something like that, close to that. And I've been keeping up online. She's safe. She's good. She is there with our missionaries that we support in Chile as well, the Hunters. But let's take a moment and pray for them. Would that be all right? I'd love to lift them up and lift up your daughter. I know you guys have been concerned and thinking about her and just seeing some of the pictures of, man, it's pretty crazy what's going on. And then always with every aftershock, there's the fear of a tsunami happening. And so we want to lift them up. And they're right there, really close to the heart of where that earthquake happened. So let's pray for Gina and the Hunters and all those affected. Father, we come to you this morning. And we lift Gina up and lift up her parents as well, too, Father. I just pray you'd give them peace and comfort as she's there. Father, we just pray for her safety. We pray for her safety. We pray for the Hunters and all of those that are in that area, Father, that have been affected, Lord. We pray that you would be with them. Lord, provide for them, provide safety for them. Also, Lord, during this time, would you use them? Lord, you sent them to this area for a reason, Lord, and I believe right now they can be a real light in helping people in this area that need help right now, God. So we lift them up to you, Lord. We pray again for your safety, your protection for them, God. And we just pray for their family, Lord, that you would just be with them, show them how much you love them, how close you are with them right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let me just show you guys some pictures. I remember when I was growing up, we had slideshows. You guys remember the old spinny things that you'd put slides in, and you'd go to your uncle's house, and they'd show you slideshows, and you hated it? Do you remember that? Well, I'm your uncle this morning. I'm going to show you a slideshow, but I hope you don't hate it. I hope it's just a few pictures, but I want to just give you a little glimpse, because over the next couple weeks, I'm going to talk a little bit about this trip. And talk about a man named Paul, who is just the greatest missionary and just inspired me so much. So here's some pictures. Let me show you the first one. This is our group. This is Sam Rockwell, our district supervisor. He led us on this trip and led this team. These are all pastors from around our district, some of them here in Colorado. And this is one of the first stops we made in Thessaloniki, and this is an actual place where Paul, this is one of the first churches that Paul established in Greece, and he, for those of you that don't know, Greece is a good ways away from Jerusalem. You have to go on a boat, and I don't think they had cruise ships back then, and it's a pretty good distance. So for Paul to go and be asked by God to go and begin these churches, many of these churches that you see in these slideshows, these are the churches that started it all. And as you'll see in some of these pictures, they're just ruins now. It's the remains of what used to be. But what I was so inspired by was that these buildings no longer stand. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is more powerful than it's ever been in this world. And I was very inspired by that. In fact, this room right here, this was a synagogue that was set up after Paul was there, after the church was there. And in World War II, people came in, and anything that was on the walls that had any description of Jesus or anything of the gospel, they would take chisels and go after and try to ruin so that there wasn't anything remaining. They were trying to destroy Christianity. You know that since the beginning of Christianity, since the beginning of Jesus on this earth, people have been trying to destroy the story and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to me, that shows the power that there is in this story, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that still to this day, nothing has been able to stop its advancement in this world. We here are a result of that as a church. And so, anyways, I'm not going to spend that much time on every picture, but I want to show you some of them. Next one, this is Philippi. I read the book of Philippians a lot while I was there because I was very inspired by the Philippian church. And this is one of the churches that Paul went and established in Greece. This is an amphitheater that before the time of Jesus was used for gladiator fights. Lions would be raised up in the middle. You see a square there in the middle. It's actually bigger than it looks. Lions would be raised up, and then a gladiator would fight the lion, and people would sit and watch. And I thought, that's kind of cool. I kind of wish that still happened today. It sounds fun. I feel like if someone's brave enough to get in with a lion, then let's watch it and enjoy it, right? There's some pretty barbaric things that still happen today. Anyways, the cool part of this story is that this actually ended up being the church where the believers that were Christians came together, and Paul was known to preach here. So it went from being a place of entertainment to a place where people got to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Philippi was one of the first areas that this happened in. So let's go on to the next picture. This is what used to be Philippi. These are many of the remains of the city of Philippi where Paul went. One of the earliest churches was the church, the Philippian church. Let's go on to the next one. This is more of the ruins. This is an area where that was known as kind of their shopping center during that time. Let's go on to the next one. That's me. And believe it or not, that's me in prison. This is the actual prison that Paul was kept in. As many of you know, Paul was being chased by the Romans. He was being persecuted for advancing the gospel, for telling people about Jesus. And so I don't know if it was legal or not, but a lot of us hopped the fence and got into Paul's prison. We had to get our picture taken in there. So that's me. That's in the prison that Paul was held in for a long time. Next picture. This is a pretty interesting place. There was a woman, if you want to read about it, she was in the book of Acts. Her name was Lydia, and she was one of the first converts in Europe, one of the first to give her life to Jesus. And then she was baptized right here in this river. Now, since then, they've built a memorial there and a little place where people can get baptized if they want. But pretty cool to see where it all began. Fun to be a part of that. So the next picture, you guys enjoying this slideshow? Isn't this awesome? Yeah. this is a missionary in Kirche, Albania, named Sean Mason. And this next picture is his church. And the next picture, yeah, here we go. So this is actually a pretty phenomenal thing because in this area, the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't really well received. And so for him to be called to go down here and start a church, we got to be a part of his service and got to be a part of what God is doing, just the miracles that God is doing in this area. So let's go on to the next slide. These are the amazing, amazing Dacuses, Chris and Laura Dacus. They were at our church a year and a half, two years ago, and they are just incredible people. They've been in Albania now for 20 years. They're missionaries there. This next picture shows you what they're doing. This is the Stevens Center. The bottom of it is a restaurant. The top and the sides are the hotel that they own there. And what they do is, and it's such an incredible thing. This is right in the middle of the city, and it's such a light in the darkness that's there. This is a war-torn country. This is a country that has experienced some really rough things in their history. And the Dacuses were called to go there and start this restaurant, start this hotel. And right in the middle of the city, people come. And everyone that walks into this restaurant hears about Jesus and gets to experience the message of Jesus Christ along with a taco salad or burrito from the United States. It's an incredible thing. Now, what's so unique about this place and why we support them as a church, by the way, a lot of you may know this, but we actually support these missionaries and what they're doing in this country. So the proceeds that they make from this restaurant and hotel go to support missionaries in the area, to sending missionaries in the area. It goes to support an orphanage. And then I'm going to talk about it, I think, next week a little bit more. But they've just recently opened up this huge warehouse that's going to be a rehabilitation center for those that are handicapped in the country of Albania. Nothing's happening like this in Tirana, Albania. But they saw such a need there that they have gone in and they're providing wheelchairs. They're helping people. So in this country, if you're handicapped, you're basically worthless. You're just kind of disowned, oftentimes even thrown out into the streets. And so what their mission is, what they want to do, and what they've already begun to do, we got to meet one of the men who they've helped already, is to help to rehabilitate these young people. We got to meet Augustine. He had lunch with us. At the very early age, they said he wasn't going to live. At the most, he would live till he was about 20 years old because he had such a bad handicap with his back, and he couldn't walk, he couldn't move anything. And so the Dacuses went in and they began to help him and actually brought him to the United States for 5 surgeries. And now he is there. He is alive and well at the age of 19 and is expected to live out his life to live a long life. Obviously, you don't know how long he's going to live, but he's not expected to live only till 20 anymore. And it's just so incredible to see how God, that's living out the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope you know that. That's sharing your faith just as much as when you speak to somebody about Jesus. And so anyways, just an awesome thing. I think that's the last slide. Is that right? Is there any more slides after that? Nope, there's that, which we're not showing yet. So don't look. I want to talk this morning about something we don't talk about a lot, and it's sharing our faith, sharing Jesus. And why do we do it? Why do we do it? Why don't we do it? And how do we do it? I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. I was very moved while in Greece, walking where Paul walked, hearing the story of Paul. If any of you are interested in this story, Acts chapter 9 tells the story of Paul's conversion and how he began to preach the gospel and how he began to be this missionary that his whole life was about sharing Jesus and sharing the gospel of Jesus to people. I was so moved when I was there that his whole life was dedicated to letting people know that Jesus is the Son of God, letting people know that Jesus is their Savior, that Jesus came to die for each one of us so that we could have life, so that we could have life abundant. And you saw the picture of me standing in that prison, and I got to be honest with you, it was a pretty spiritual experience for me standing in that prison, because in some ways, I think I was even, not even, I know that I was convicted standing in that prison, because I live a pretty comfortable life. And I let what people are thinking about me stop me from sharing Jesus oftentimes. It's easy to stand up here. It's not super easy, but it's easy to stand up here and talk to you guys about Jesus because most of you want to be here. But then it's not as easy when I'm somewhere and I know that God wants me to share Jesus with somebody and there's fear that comes up. There's what are they going to think, or is it politically correct? You know, all of these things that enter into our minds. But as I stood in that prison, I realized here's a man who was beaten for his faith. Here's a man that stopped at nothing to share Jesus with this world. Why? Because he was so convinced. He was so moved by the story of Jesus. He was so enthralled with what Jesus did for this world, for humanity. He believed with all of his heart that Jesus was the answer to all humanity's needs. And so he was willing to stop at nothing in order to advance this story of Jesus. And it moved me, and it really, especially in this month coming up on Easter, Resurrection Sunday, that we would spend some time on why is it important for us to share our faith? Why is it important for us to be lights in this world? Why did Jesus call on us to do this? And also look a little bit at why we don't do it. I believe that it's my mission, it's my privilege, it's my responsibility in this world to let people know. So why don't we do it? Why should we do it? How do we do it? Let's start by why don't we share our faith? I believe one of the biggest things is we don't do it because of fear. Fear is one of those things that paralyzes us. We're afraid of what people are going to think. We're afraid of them thinking that we aren't what we want them to think, whatever the case may be. But fear creeps in a lot of times as believers. Sometimes even fear of losing your job, fear of losing what people, credibility that you have with people. Fear is one of those things that we have to constantly fight. And any time that I feel like fear rises up with me, inside of me, when it comes to sharing my faith, I'm reminded that God said that he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. And I think of that spirit of love that is inside of each one of us. And that's that spirit that God wants to use for us to go and make a difference in people's lives, for us to go and share our faith with people. I think another reason why we don't do it is because we're not sure how. Maybe we don't know what to say. Maybe we have a wrong idea of how it should be done. I think that's a big one for us. I think that we think, well, sharing my faith means I have to walk up to somebody and just immediately, Jesus wants you to repent. And if you don't, you're going to hell forever. You're going to burn. That's not sharing your faith. Did Jesus do that with people? He didn't do that. He actually cared about people. He actually talked to people. He actually invested time with people. He gave them good news, not bad news. The good news of what the gospel is all about. The good news of the life that he came to offer them. But I think we have a wrong idea of what this is supposed to look like. So a lot of times we don't do it because we identify. And the next one is we don't want to be associated with crazy Christians. There's a bunch of crazy Christians out there. People that like to hold signs across the street, that like to picket, that like to be the one standing on the soapbox with the megaphone. Let me tell you something. That doesn't work. I've been around the church for 40 years now. Has anyone in this room ever become a Christian or come to know Jesus because someone yelled at you hatefully? No one? I'm shocked. Actually, I'm not at all. Because it just doesn't work that way. And I think sometimes in our minds we think that that's what evangelism is. That's what sharing our faith is. That's what sharing Jesus is. I have a fun little video to show you that kind of in a humorous way shows what I'm talking about. So let's check this out.
Morning, Jim. Robert.
Hey.
Hi, Jim.
Free gift.
So let me tell you something. Everything is better when you share it, especially Jesus, especially our faith. I believe with all my heart that when we share our faith, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, that something happens inside of us to make us love Jesus even more. When you brag about someone, I think about when I brag about my wife. She didn't get to go on this trip with me because we have a little baby. But when on this trip, I remember just telling everybody, I wish my wife was on this trip. You guys would love her. It'd be so fun. She's funny. And I remember just talking about her made me love her more. It made me just remember the good things about my wife. That's how it is with Jesus. All right, let's get back to why we don't. The next one is we worry about being politically correct. Let me tell you something. If talking about Jesus is politically incorrect, then I don't want to be politically correct. Because Jesus is what this world needs. Jesus is the only thing in my life that has brought hope and joy and peace, that's brought meaning and purpose to my life. And I'm telling you, you guys know my story. I've lived for the world. I've lived for myself. But I've also lived for Jesus, and he is the answer to humanity's needs. He is the savior of this world, and we have to let people know about that. And there's a good way that we can do that. And the last one here, second to the last one, is I believe a lot of times we're not fully convinced of what we're sharing, and so we don't share things. I think that we have a lot of lukewarmness in our faith. The Bible says, don't be lukewarm. Jesus says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. You can't live in the world and in the things of God. You're going to love one and hate the other. The Bible talks a lot about that, about don't ride the fence. Either go all in or don't do it at all. And I think that's what happens a lot of times is we're lukewarm. And I'm telling you, lukewarm people are not good evangelists. Lukewarm people are not good at sharing your faith because you're kind of like, hey, I think Jesus loves you or something. I don't know, like, you know, I think he does. I read it, whatever. People are like, what? Do you even know what you're talking about? I don't know. I mean, it's like, whatever. I think I'm supposed to do this, so here you go. I'm telling you now. I did my job. No! I remember when I was in college, my friend convinced me to quit my job at the school and sell home security systems door-to-door. I was awful. I don't think I sold one because I wasn't convinced. I wasn't sold on what I was selling. I wasn't fully convinced that what I was selling, these people actually needed. And they saw that. And people see that in us. How do we become good at sharing our faith? How do we become good evangelists, good missionaries in this world that we're called to be? Go all in. Be convinced about what it is. Get to know the Word of God. Get to know God. Get to know who he is. And I promise you, you will tell people about him. And the final thing here is, and there's more, but these are the ones that I think are big ones. And I've talked to some people who confirm these with me as well. And the last one is just a lack of concern or being spiritually lazy. You know, we can actually become spiritual gluttons if we're not careful. Where it's all about us, where we come to church and it's like, oh, I just want more of God. Yeah, bring it on. You know, we want the presence of God. We want all the goodness that God gives us. And then we step out of church and we're all confident in church and we're Christians and we are Christians. I don't care who knows in church. I'll yell it from the rooftops inside the church building. And then we walk out of church, you know, we're all filled up, and we got our God fixed, we got a dose of the ghost, you know what I'm talking about? Everything is good, and we step out of church, and we become weird. We're like, and then we get home, and then we're comfortable again, aren't we? Listen, there's a lack of concern, I believe, in the church today that needs to change. We have to care that there's a world that needs Jesus and that we're the ones that are supposed to tell them about it. We can't become spiritually lazy. This isn't a works thing. This isn't trying to make you feel guilty. But we can become spiritually lazy. Where we're so full of all the things of God, but we're not doing anything. We're not reproducing that. We're not sharing those things to the world around us. Which brings me to why should we share our faith? Well, the first one is, it's the Great Commission. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says this. He says, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and then the result of that is you're going to be my witnesses in this world. You're going to be my witnesses, starting here in Jerusalem and going through the rest of the world. That was the Great Commission. He says, go and make disciples in this world. How do you make disciples? You make disciples first by telling people this story of Jesus, by being an example yourself in this world. Commission. It's God's plan. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. We are God's plan A, and he does not have a plan B. You are God's plan for this world. The second one is the gospel is good news. How many of you know that this world needs good news? I mean, turn on the news every night and count how much of it is good news and how much of it is bad news. The overwhelming majority of it is bad news. The world is looking for good news, and we have the good news. We have the good news for people. Let me ask you something. If you found the cure for cancer, would you let people know about it? If you found, oh, I found it. This is incredible. I know how people can now be cured of cancer. They don't have to suffer anymore. They don't have to go through the things that they're going through. You would share it with people, wouldn't you? I mean, I can think of right now a number of, a handful of people that I personally know that I'm friends with that are suffering with the disease of cancer. And they would be the first ones. I'd run to them and say, I found the answer for you. We have the answer to the condition of this world, and it's Jesus Christ. And there's people all around us that know, and we have too many things that hold us back from sharing that with them. It's the good news. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus is the answer for the needs of humanity? Do you believe that Jesus is the answer for the things that are going on in this world? If we really believe that, then we're compelled to share our faith with as many people as possible, at whatever means possible. The next one is it deepens our understanding of the gospel. Philemon 6 says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. I realize that the more people I share my faith with, the more often I hear the gospel myself and consider its meaning, consider what I'm talking about. It's on my lips, it's on my mind, and I think that's a problem. There's a lot of times it's not even on our minds, it's not even on our lips, we're too concerned about other things. But the more we share our faith, the more it becomes a part of us, the more it deepens our understanding, the more we want to know more about God. When I'm sharing my faith, sometimes people ask me questions and I'm like, I don't know how to answer that. And sometimes it's fine to say I don't know because there's a lot of things that we won't understand. But there's other times where they'll ask a question and I'll say, oh man, I don't know that. But you know what? I know the Bible talks about that. And then it sends me to the Word. It sends me to go and find out what it is that the Bible says. And then the next time when that question's answered, I say, you know, think about this. This is what the Bible says about this. So it's an opportunity for us to deepen our faith. The next one is that sharing our faith makes it real to us. Listen, I believe with all my heart that our relationship with Jesus, our faith in God, isn't real unless you're sharing it. Because it's too good to not share. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Now, what does that mean? Well, I believe that it means that if you were to look at the job description of a Jesus follower, that very high on the list, if not number one, it's going to say missionary. Someone that shares what's going on in their life with this world. It's crucial on our job description. If it's not there, then we have to question, is this real in our lives? How many of you share things on Facebook? I share things on Facebook. If it's funny, I'll share it. If it's moving, if it's impacting in my life, I'll share it. I like to share. I want people to know. It's like, oh my gosh, that was hilarious. I click share so that everyone gets to see the dancing baby or the flying dog or whatever it is. Or that video that is really inspiring and moving, something that's happening in this world. We share things that mean something to us, don't we? We share things that have an impact on us, don't we? So if the gospel of Jesus Christ, if the story of Jesus Christ, if the story of what God is doing in this world through his son Jesus Christ has an impact on us, we will share it, whether it's on Facebook or in real life with people. The next one is sharing your faith opens the door for the supernatural. I've seen this so real in my life that, you know, as I've traveled, as I've just lived in my neighborhood, as I've lived in this world, I got to tell you guys, I love sharing my faith. I love sharing Jesus. I am an evangelist at heart. I grew up on the mission field. When I was 4 years old, I was running around my neighborhood as a little blonde gringo, sharing Jesus with people and inviting them to come to our house for Bible study. It's something that since I was very little, I love to do. I love to tell people about Jesus. As an adult, I love to tell people about Jesus. But there's still a little bit of fear before I do it, of how are they going to respond? I don't like rejection, so I'm afraid that if I go up to them, they're going to reject me and send me away. And so what I have to rely on is the Spirit of God that lives inside of me. I have to rely on the supernatural. I have to rely on, okay, I'm going to do my part, and then God's going to step in and he's going to do the rest. So when we share our faith, we actually open the door for the supernatural to happen in people's lives, but also the supernatural to happen through us. Let me give you an example of this. On this trip that we were just on, our bus driver was named Palum. He is an Albanian man. I have a picture of him. Palum. I think it's named Palum. There we go. This is Palum. And he was our bus driver. And I just noticed early on, and this is the evangelist in me, I noticed early on that he, when we'd have meals, he always sat at his own table alone. And I just found it interesting that we weren't paying a lot of attention to him. And so I asked one of the people that we're with, I said, is he a Christian? Does he know Jesus? And he's like, oh, no, he doesn't at all. I was like, man, here we are, a bunch of pastors. And here's this guy sitting with us, and we're not even concerned about him. And so an interesting thing happens with me when I'm traveling is I get motion sick really easy. Any other people in this room, you get motion sick really easy. So I always have to sit at the front of the van. And I think God did that for a reason. Because I can't tell you how many people I've told about Jesus sitting at the front of the van because I just happen to be there next to him and I can't help it. Now, this man knew like two words, actually three words in English. He knew good. He'd look at me and say, good, good. He knew thank you, and he knew Facebook. And so we're friends on Facebook. We became friends on Facebook like the third day. But somehow we communicated with each other. And I just knew that God wanted me to share my faith with this man. I knew that God wanted me to share Jesus with this man. But every day it was just be nice to him, talk to him, show him pictures of your family, do little interpretations. I have this app on my phone where you can interpret any language into English and any language from English into that language. And so I'd write these little notes to him. And as we're leaving at the end of the night, I'd show him this little note. And oftentimes it was just, hey, thank you for driving us. It's been great. You're an awesome guy, blah, blah, blah. But I had this one prepared for him for the end of the week or for whenever I knew God told me to do it. And it was the message of Jesus Christ. And I prayed about it. I said, God, show me what you want me to say. And so I typed it out, and it was, God loves you so much. You don't even know how much he loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die for you. He wants a relationship with you. And I just laid it all out there, and it's sitting on my phone. I'm just like, God, now? He's like, no, not yet, not yet. God, now? Not yet. And so as we pull up to the airport on the eighth day, he's dropping us off, and we're coming back home. I heard God say, now. It was very supernatural. And again, all we've said to each other all week is, good, thank you, Facebook, that's it. But yet I was sharing my faith with him with those three words. Somehow, I can't even tell you, it's supernatural. And so as he reads it, he pulled out his glasses, and everybody's already walking away with their suitcases. I'm sitting there in the bus with him, and I show him my phone, pulls out his glasses, and he reads it. And you can tell that something's happening there. I don't know what. He wouldn't be able to tell me if something was happening. But he reads this, and he looks at me, and I could tell he was emotional. And he said, good. That's what he said, was good. And then I said goodbye, and he said Facebook. No joke. And so I wrote him yesterday on Facebook. I said, good. No, I'm just kidding. But I did write him. I wasn't joking about that. But listen, let me tell you why I tell you this story. Is he a Christian now? I have no idea. You know what? I'm not even concerned about that. Now, do I want him to have Jesus in his life and have the change that Jesus brings? Absolutely. But I'm not concerned. Why? Because I did my part. Oftentimes we focus so much on the results. You know, maybe my part is just planting the seed. And then maybe in a couple months, there'll be another group that's there of pastors. And one of the pastors gets motion sick. So he sits next to him in the front and says good to him. I don't know. And maybe that person's job is to water the seed that was planted a couple months earlier. You know, we all have just our responsibility. And that's just to share what God is asking us to share with people. And we don't know. And then I get on the plane and there's this Swedish atheist. And I'm like, oh, God, I was going to take a nap on this flight. And the only reason we started talking is because my mom's going to Sweden, and I'm part Swedish, and so we started talking, and next thing I know, she's an atheist, and she's asking me about Jesus, and I'm telling her on this flight. It was the quickest 2.5 hours of my life. We're going from Albania to Munich, Germany. And I just realized that if we just are available by God, if we're just available to be used by God, it's incredible what he does. It's incredible what he does. At the end of the conversation, she said something to me. I don't know if it was a compliment or not. She goes, but she said, you know, you're different than a lot of Christians. And she says, I've started meeting a lot of you recently. That's what she said. I'm like, I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but I just did my part. And she said, the people that run our gym, it's a climbing gym there in Albania, they're missionaries. And they're a lot like you. And I think what she meant was that we're not Christians that are trying to stuff Jesus in people's faces. We're Christians that are sharing what Jesus has done in their lives and offering that to them as well. And sharing the good news of the gospel. All right, I better move on because I could talk about this for a long time. The next one is, it gives us compassion for the lost. It's very difficult to share your faith with people and not get compassion for them. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes because they were lost like sheep without a shepherd. The next one is, and I think we have a misspelled word here, it's good us of our time. No, it's good use of our time. It's very good use of our time. Listen, it's the most fulfilling, fruitful use of my time to share Jesus with people. Now, I love doing other things. I love doing things. I love traveling. I love being in Greece and Albania. But I'm telling you, the most fruitful use of my time when I was on this trip was sharing Jesus with these people and sharing my faith and bragging on the Jesus that I love that has changed my life. And then finally, it makes your feet beautiful. You don't need no pedicure. All you need is to share Jesus with people, and you will have beautiful feet. Look at what Romans 10 says. Romans 10:14, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them unless they're without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. You guys want beautiful feet? Yeah, just take the good news and you're going to have beautiful feet. They may not be like beautiful to other people, but to God, they're beautiful. Because they're the feet that are taking the gospel into this world. And then finally, this isn't up there, but I'm telling you, this, when we share our faith, it makes Jesus happy. It makes them happy, happy, happy. In fact, you know, in Matthew 10:32, Jesus says, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. Jesus gets all excited. I you know what? This honestly happened this last week. Jesus went to his Father in heaven. He said, my boy is talking to a Swedish atheist about me on the flight, the Lufthansa flight from Albania to Munich. Isn't that awesome? Now, am I bragging about this? No, I'm telling you, that's what happens. Jesus says, I confess you before my Father in heaven when you confess me before man. So something deeply profound and spiritual is happening when we're talking to people about Jesus. And then finally, how do we share our faith? Well, it's going to be different for each one of us. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit on how he wants us to share with people. We have to take into account that different people are going to hear it different ways. Different people have been hurt by religion. But let me give you a really good script. And it's found in Matthew 11:28-30. It's an invitation from Jesus that I believe we can quote to people. And it's in the Message version of the Bible. And we talk about this passage a lot because I believe it's profound for our church. But I believe it's a wonderful script on how we can share our faith with people. Here's why. If Jesus did it this way, why shouldn't we do it this way? And so here it is. Here's what it says. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Let me tell you, there's a lot of people in this world that would say yes to that. And that's an entryway into their hearts and into their lives. Jesus continues on by saying, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Do you know that our role is just to point people towards Jesus? Our role is to invite people to enter into a relationship with Jesus. We're not doing this so that we can get another Christian notch on our belt. We're doing it because we care about the people that we see around us. And so we invite them to get away with Jesus and allow him to recover their lives. I'll show you how to take a real rest. A lot of this world is desiring and longing for a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly in charge of the Sabbath. This doesn't have to be a formal sermon or a soapbox moment. It can be as simple as sharing with someone what you have discovered about God, how he has brought about good change in your life, how he's helped you recover in your life. So what do? First of all, like Jesus did, we pray. We pray for those around us. If we really care about people, we pray about them. We pray for them. Jesus did that a lot. He prayed for those that he was going to minister to. Secondly, is live as an example. I showed you a picture of the Dacuses. They're there in Albania. They've been there for 20 years. And they're just living out their faith. They're living as an example of Jesus Christ. You know that when we're the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, that's just as important as words that we say. In fact, there was the Saint Francis of Assisi. He said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. And I think that is so good, because people are watching us. Do you know that most of the time when I'm sharing my faith, it's that I'm just loving on people. I'm just doing what God has called me to do in their lives, and then they ask me why I'm doing it. And that's my opportunity to share with them what God has done in my life and why I do and why I live that my life the way that I live it. The third one is listen. Oh, the lost art of listening. Listen to their story. Ask them what's missing in their lives. What's been taken? What would they like to recover? You know, all of us in this room, we have things that God has helped us to recover, that he's helping us recover. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's life. Maybe it's relationships. Jesus is the king of recovery, of helping us to recover our lives, to give us that life abundant that he wants to give us. And I promise you, everyone you talk to has something in their lives that's missing, something in their lives that they want recovered. And it's such an entryway into their lives, into their hearts, of saying, listen, here's my story. And that's the next one, is share your story. Share the good news of what God has done in your life. And it's powerful. People respond to that. People respond. And then finally, don't preach at people. We talked about this earlier. Speak the truth in love, as it says in Ephesians 4:15. That people don't like to be preached at. People like relationships. And that we can invest in people. We can take time in people's lives and not just schedule, okay, today I'm going to share my faith with this person. And if it doesn't work, then God was wrong in sending me this person. No, that we begin relationships with people, and that oftentimes it comes from that they develop trust in you, and they start to see in your life what something that they desire in their own lives. And then they're willing to go to church, and they're willing to be a part of what you're talking about. But people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And that's something that is so important for us all to know as we're living out our faith.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.